Welcome back to Around the Association. I'm Rob Pannier here with Kevin Lucco. Kevin, the St. Paul Saints began this season thinking that their starting rotation was really going to be something special this year, maybe one of the best ones they've had in a decade. Then a lot of injuries came on. They had a retirement of Eric Veglen, and things were looking a little troubling for them. All of a sudden, the starting rotation is looking like the cornerstone of this team again. What are you thinking about the signings of Dustin Crenshaw and Ryan Zimmerman?
At the beginning of the season, I was going with the Cards analogy. Four aces. Well, sometimes you get dealt a different hand, and we saw that. Guys went down. Okay. But now with the rotation as it is, with the pickups of Zimmerman and Crenshaw, if Robert Coe can get healthy, get back to form, it's going to be an embarrassment of riches for this pitching staff, and George Samuels has to like what he's going to see going into the summer when the schedule starts getting much tougher.
Well, we've seen an excellent performance out of Jason Creasy. Robert Coe is supposed to be maybe a day or two away from even coming back from his injury. Boy, this is going to really be a deep rotation at that point.
Yeah, you're looking at six guys that stake a very viable claim for being in the rotation, and George has got to pick five of them. I suppose you'll see your wrangling of the DL. Some guys are going to get a lot of rest between starts, and maybe that helps come the end of the year when innings are starting to pile up. So George will be earning his money with that, but sometimes, you know, stuff happens. Guys get injured, and all of a sudden you're back down to four, maybe five healthy guys. So enjoy the embarrassment of riches while you can, because you don't know if they'll be there in a few weeks.
Before the season began, the Saints trade for Anthony Gallus from Kansas City. He came with a big bat. We're really starting to see that now.
Gallus is somebody I noticed in his three games he played up here last year against the Saints. And I even talked to a couple scouts and said, what's the deal with Gallus? Why is he not in an organization? And yes, there were people surprised he wasn't with one. And it was a good move on George's part to bring Gallus up here. And we're seeing what he can do now, and hopefully he can keep it up.
With Dustin Crenshaw being signed, the team had to make some moves to try to work the veteran rule and the salary cap. Tony Caldwell out. Max Garrett returns back to the team. This has always been a popular player with the team, good defensive catcher for them. Is he going to be can he provide the kind of offense, really, at this point, and be the kind of catcher that this team needs every day?
Caldwell was a good bat, but even healthy this year, he wasn't really throwing guys out. And the word I get is that the guys love throwing to Max. So, but Max is also going to have to hit. Granted, the Saints have a deep lineup. They got guys that can hit up and down the order, but you can't have a guy hitting a .150. Max is going to have to, you know, get it up around .250. Maybe we've seen him able to knock a couple balls out of the park too. So just be an average player, be a good receiver, throw some runners out, and be a guy that the guys like to throw to. And I think we could see Garrett take the job and run with it.
You know, I wonder out of that too, by what you're mentioning here, is the fact that I don't think George Samuels would have released Tony Caldwell if he hadn't consulted the pitching staff and how they felt about throwing to Max.
It's the old adage, don't dump plan A unless you have a plan B.
Well, before we head into going around the association, Charlie joins us again this week. So what's going on this week, Charlie?
You guys brought me up here again. Oh, I was here last night. You guys bring in a fancy ray. What is that? I want to come here and watch baseball. I don't want to listen to a guy named Fancy Ray. What did he do? I maybe see him on TV once every month or two. And you guys are going to bring him to a baseball game and distract my evening? Ugh.
Charlie, I just don't understand how you could be so against such a great entertaining activity like that.
I'm here to watch baseball. I don't care about the other stuff. And now tonight, Kevin drags me here for something called Awkward Tuesday? Are you kidding me? Every time I come here, it's awkward. It's awkward all the time.
How could you say that, Charlie? This is one of the most fun activities you could do in baseball.
But I want to watch the ball game. I don't want to see awkward stuff going on, and it happens every night. I don't know why they call it Awkward Tuesday. They should call it awkward every day of the week.
Kevin, what are we going to do with this guy?
I don't know.
And I'll tell you another thing. I was watching TV, and the Minnesota Twins, they were eating fried grasshoppers in the locker room. What is that about? That's not ballpark food. I want a hot dog. I want a pop. I want popcorn. People eat fried grasshoppers. The whole team was awkward. Got fancy red, but I'm out of here.
Wow.
Rob, I don't know.
I don't know what we're going
to
do.
I'll tell you, he's got a good side to him. And once in a while it comes out, but there's just something about being here that... Let's just say Charlie's a work in progress.
You were nice enough to bring him out to the ball game, and he's always got to find something to complain about.
Yeah, well, life has challenges, and Charlie's presenting a pretty big one.
Well, let's head around the association. We enter into tonight's ball game with 9 of the 12 teams in this league over 500. That's absolutely astounding to me.
Yes, it is. There's a lot of teams playing really good baseball, but what I've seen from looking at standings playing baseball is that if you get that many teams over 500, there's some teams that are way under. But let's not, we'll talk about that later.
Well, let's continue on in the North. We first of all begin with Winnipeg. A big deal going on a few days ago was Winnipeg postponed a game against Sioux City, claiming that they had too many players that were sick from some kind of illness. The game was postponed and moved to Winnipeg later in the season. This has a lot of people in the league up in arms.
As well it should. And let's put, I mean, we're not doing video, otherwise I think we'd be using the air parentheses when we say illness. Reports I got was that it was 5 guys. Another report said 7 to 10. And then I heard a third report that most of them were relief pitchers. Last time I checked baseball, you need 9 guys to play. And I don't, are we to the point where we can just call in sick? If a team has a bunch of guys, maybe stayed out late the night before, let's just call the Sunday afternoon game off. We'll just say they're sick. It's a bad precedent to set, and where do you draw the line? Is there a rule? I mean, are we going to establish that you got to have so many guys sick? Do you have to have a doctor's note? It's just, you're opening up a big can of worms, and I don't see anything positive coming out of this. Sioux City loses a gate out of it. Yeah, they don't draw great down there, but still, it's a lot of fans that came out to the ballpark and didn't get to see a ball game, and now the game gets moved to Winnipeg. So I'm surprised there wasn't more of a fuss raised about it from Steve Montgomery, but maybe he's just kind of playing the good foot soldier too. So, yeah, I got a feeling as the year goes on, we're going to be hearing a lot about that, especially if you're seeing like Winnipeg up by a game in the standings. They're going to say, well, what about that game where they called in sick?
You know, the thing about that too is that I think we've seen some times in this league where circumstances have happened that have caused teams to be late, maybe even, you know, postpone off games. There was a circumstance 3 years ago where Gary's bus didn't show. They were fined by the league for something like that. I look at this and I think this is kind of a blemish on the independent leagues when a team just says we're sick and we can't play, and the league says, well, okay.
It's the kind of thing that winds up in the funny notes of Baseball America. I recall a situation, I believe it was 2001, 2002, where Joliet was to come to St. Paul to play on a Saturday night, and their bus broke down around Wisconsin Dells. We got a full house in St. Paul wanting to see a ball game. The Saints kind of kept them entertained as long as they could. The Jackhammers rolled in about 8:30, 9 o'clock. Matt Noakes, former big leaguer, was managing them at the time, and he didn't want to have a ball game. He just said, well, come on, we've been on the bus this long. There's no sense playing this. Well, the league said, yes, you got to play it, and Noakes ended up kind of making a mockery of it, just played his position players as pitchers and just made a farce of the game. So, but at least they played it. Fans got to see something. They didn't get to see anything in Sioux City.
Well, maybe as a just desserts out of this entire thing, Winnipeg loses to Texas, snapping their 14-game losing streak. Kind of a just desserts here?
But, you know, they took 2 out of 3 in Fargo. They got awfully better awfully quick. So whatever they had, it must have been a 24-hour thing.
The one guy who's really still looking strong for this team is Kevin McGovern right now.
He's a real success story. He started in the Pecos League. He's been in the American Association for 4 years now, was with Lincoln, and now I believe second year with Winnipeg. 4-0, 3.28 ERA. He doesn't throw the ball too hard, so it doesn't get the attention of the scouts, but on this level, he's very effective, and we saw that last year against the Saints. Saints couldn't do much against McGovern in the playoffs or up during the regular season.
Three teams in the North Division with 15 wins. We talked about the Saints and Winnipeg. The team that seems to be kind of lost in the shuffle right now is the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks. Cecilio Cecilio, if I'm saying that wrong.
I had to practice it myself.
Off to a 5-0 start right now.
Yeah, I think I may have mentioned on last week's show, we saw him pitch really well here in an exhibition game, and he's just carried it over. Winnipeg got to him a little bit last Saturday night, 4 runs and 5 2/3, but when you look at the Goldeyes lineup, that's not bad work, and there are enough bats behind him that night to make it work, and he still got the win.
Last season, Tyler Alexander was lights out, seemed to be striking out 13, 14 guys a game. I had a lot of those double-digit strikeout numbers. The strikeouts are down this season. Is that a cause for concern, or was last year just a sensational year?
You know, it's hard to tell without really kind of watching him pitch in person. Yeah, the strikeouts are down, but he's still got a 3 ERA. I mean, you never can tell. He might be working on some stuff. He might be working on a different arm angle. It's hard to tell, but we'll see as the year goes on.
The one thing, looking at Fargo, this is a team really struggling to score runs right now. The highest batting average on the team is Josh Mazzola at .272. Is this going to be the Achilles heels for the Redhawks?
It could be, but I also see Doug Simnick making moves. He picked up a shorts guy from the Sussex. I forget what they're...
The Miners, I think?
Yes. Sussex County Miners. Who, ironically enough, they sold shorts to Fargo, and they just had an ad today for open tryouts. There, people that don't know, they play in the Can-Am League, and found a little fishy that teams have an open tryouts in the middle of the season.
We had a couple of teams last year that seemed like they were doing that. The last team in the North, Sioux Falls, really struggling so far this season, but take 2 out of 3 from Cleburne.
Yeah, they're showing signs of life. Joe Bercher is a little bit down in his numbers so far. Jacobs has got a .611 slugging percentage. We thought Burt Reynolds would be the big slugger on the team, but Jacobs has been pacing them in that department. And they're one of those teams that they get hot at night and they'll rack up some runs, and other nights it's an easy night for the other teams. So Mike Myers, a good manager, he'll have them playing hard, and we'll see what they can do the rest of the season, but they got a hole right now, 6.5 games out.
Heading to the Central, last season we saw all four of these teams were in it till the very end of the season. Already all four are still over .500 coming into this weekend. Kansas City's a team that I find really interesting. Starts out 1-5, has gone 11-6 since then. They set an American Association record with 24 strikeouts in a 14-inning game against Wichita a few days ago, led by Chris Perry. 11 in the 5 2/3 that he pitched in that game. Then he comes back and strikes out 9 in 7 innings against Wichita last night. Where'd this guy come from?
It's amazing. He's had 3 quality starts in a row. His last bad start we saw here when the Saints got to him. You just never know. You find something, find a new arm angle, just get hot, find your groove, whatever. But yeah, he's definitely been a nice surprise for the T-Bones.
That 24 strikeouts is quite an extraordinary record, too.
Well, that means they didn't hit into a lot of double plays. Got to find the positives.
That's for sure. Zach Walters, 6 home runs, hitting over .300, 20 RBI. This guy's an MVP candidate at this point.
This guy is playing out of his league. I don't see why an organization wouldn't take a chance on him. I don't know if he's been scouted yet or not, but yeah, he's been a man amongst boys so far in the American Association. And if I was a big league club, I would be looking at a guy like that, a middle infielder that's got some pop. And he's shown he belongs at a higher level than what he's playing at. .671 slugging percentage. Usually don't find that for a second baseman. His teammate Kevin Keyes, too, 9 home runs, .617 slugging percentage. So that's a pretty good 1-2 punch they got going there.
He's batting home runs, leading the league right at the moment here, too. Tony Caldwell, dropped by the Saints, picked up by Kansas City right away.
Yeah, interesting. But, you know, you're at the quarter pole right now, 25 games in. Caldwell has struggled here, struggled throwing guys out again, and not hitting. And after a while, you got to kind of consider maybe a guy needs a change of scenery, and we'll see what he can do down in KC.
Sioux City Explorers leading the Central Division right now. You'd hate to say a team like this is flying under the radar, but with so many teams winning, I think they're being kind of ignored a little bit. But this is the best bullpen in the American Association.
And they don't even have Rob Ward yet, and that's scary.
Extremely. Extremely. Let's talk a little bit about John Nogowski. This guy's still hitting over 400 and has really become a guy in the league that I think most teams are fearing right now.
Well, definitely, and he's got good guys hitting around him, too. So, yeah, he's definitely shown, I mean, you got a guy like Jace Ray hitting around him. And, you know, the thing, Michael Lang's been hitting really well at the top of their order. The guy I'm surprised about that's not doing well is Josh Vitters. He was a guy who had some brief major league experience with Chicago, was considered a top prospect there for quite a while, and I thought, when the Explorers signed him, I thought he was going to just dominate the league, but he's struggling to hit 200, so it goes to show you this league's a little tougher than some give it credit for.
The Gary South Shore Railcats is the next spot we turn to. They have a big walk-off home run at home on Saturday night. Walk-off stolen base, we might believe, but a home run?
Yeah, there was, even the kid that hit it, Fitzgerald's hitting under 200. Yeah, a walk-off home run at U.S. Steel Yard, you really got to poke one to get that. And I believe that was that not against Sioux City?
I think so, yeah. Yes, it was. Yes.
So, yeah, that was three ways in which they definitely defied the odds on that one, and they find themselves only 3.5 games out, and they've been playing much better ball since the season began, so don't count them out.
We want to give a little pat on the back to Jamie Delvalier, who takes a coaching job with Arizona.
You know, that's a tough call to make, and I commend him for doing so. Every guy's goal in this league is to make it to the bigs, and a lot of them don't want to face the reality that, hey, it's not going to happen. For Devalier to just say, well, it's time to go on to the next thing, I commend him for it, and I wish him all the luck with the Arizona organization.
Lincoln sets what is believed by them, and could potentially be here, to be a baseball record with 5 walk-off victories at home in a row last week.
How is that for a marketing strategy? If you want a way to have your fans stick around to the end of the game, you tell them that, hey, no matter what we're down by, we're still in this one. And yeah, that's a lot of celebrations at the plate.
Lincoln better be milking that thing, that's for sure. A big catalyst for the team so far this season, Randolph Oduber.
6 homers, 18 RBIs, and we've seen Kurt Smith, well, be Kurt Smith, only two homers, but 14 RBIs, and I'm sure he'll be ramping up the home run totals as the year goes on.
We head to the south right now. Wichita goes out on the road, 9 games, come away 6-3, and you'd be pretty happy about that. But 3 of those losses came in walk-off defeats against them. I look at this and I say the bullpen right now is kind of in flux. Is this a spot that manager Pete Rose Jr. needs to start addressing?
Well, definitely, and you're up 2.5. That's this time of year, that's not really that much. But if they pull away from Kleber, and yeah, that's when you can kind of start tweaking with your pen. And you know, something I wanted to mention this week is that with the MLB draft, you've got all these guys now that did not get drafted that are going to be looking for places to play. That's where a guy like Pete Rose Jr. looks for maybe a young arm that can step into his bullpen. Plus, the guys that are drafted, once they get slotted into teams, you're going to see guys getting released, and that's where maybe you find a strong arm that gets released by an organization that's looking for something to prove. It's an exciting time of the year. I always kind of like this time of year, seeing guys get either a second chance or get their first chance coming from a college and that went undrafted.
I think heading on in the league, I think the team that everybody's a little surprised about right now is the Cleburne Railroaders. 14-11 at this particular point, with Texas and Salina being a major portion of their schedule, I think that this team is really in a prime position to get that wild card spot, if not the division title still.
Yeah, they're right in the hunt for both, and I think we talked about that in previous episodes too, that the team, we figure Wichita's going to win it, but whoever that second team is that can feast on the other two, they're the ones that are going to be making a strong push for a playoff spot in. It's looking like Cleburne is going to be that team. Maybe they won't have the fire sale to Winnipeg like they did last year when they were in Joplin.
The one player on the team, though, that seems to always come through with big numbers, Winston Abreu, 7 saves, 21 strikeouts, and 12 innings. This guy just, I don't understand why he's not an affiliate ball, to be honest with you.
Surprises me, too, and he's had plenty of big league experience, and you think even not a big league ball, he would be pitching Mexican League or even Atlantic League, but the Railroaders are enjoying having him around, so... Yeah, 7 saves, 14 wins. That's half of their wins have been saved by him. So,
manager Gabe Suarez using him in the right way. We head on to the Texas AirHogs. To say that this team is offensively challenged may be the understatement of the year at this point. They end their 14-game losing streak, but just 5 home runs and 56 walks in 24 games. I'm kind of trying to figure out where this team goes from here.
You know, previous AirHogs teams, they may not played well, but they always hit well. Boy, we're not even seeing that this year. Dennis Fifth was the guy when Laredo was pretty much sent packing. Everybody wanted Dennis Fifth, and even Fifth hasn't been doing much for them. And yeah, we look at last week, shut out 3 times by the Saints. That's almost unheard of.
Absolutely. 24 straight innings of being shut down, so that's not something you want to hang your hat on. James Russell, though, has been a big bright spot for this team so far this year.
Yeah, big league vet, pitching the bigs on and off for the last 7 years. Good find for the AirHogs, and we'll see, though, because, you know, guys like that, if your team's out of it and you'd like to see guys get a chance to pitch in the playoffs, maybe Russell moves on to somebody else and AirHogs can get some players to be named later and look forward to next season.
You talked about the Major League draft just happening, a lot of players out there available. One team that really has to be scouring that list is the Salina Stockade. The losing streak now, I believe, at 23. This is just a tough time.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to gloss that one over, but, you know, it's a team of opportunity, like you just said. You know, if a guy doesn't get drafted, doesn't have the place to play, why not hook on, and you don't have to worry about finding a place to stay. You're always on the road to get used to that life, and you know, you get a chance to play against top competition, you stand out, you maybe catch a big league scout some attention, and before you know it, you're in an organization. So you're not going to win a division, but you're going to get a chance.
I would think, too, a player might look at this opportunity and say, boy, what a great opportunity to really stand out, because, you know, the rest of the team may not be performing particularly well. I can really make myself look good here.
Yeah, it's a big fish in a very, very, very small pond.
One bright spot for the team, Kuby Meyer is really playing good first base for this team.
Yeah, a young Hawaiian guy. He's got a one already got himself into. Going from Hawaii to traveling mid-America. So, yeah, always good to see a guy that's taking advantage of the opportunity, and we'll see where he goes from here.
Equally as hot for him there, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yes, just not as, a little more humid around here lately.
Well, Kevin, thanks for joining me this week.
Good to be here.
We'll see you next time on Around the Association.